Thank you to our president, Dr. Sandra Gray, for praying for us. And I have one quick announcement. It's been 1 week since our Missions Conference, Great Commission Congress, and you guys have raised over $5,000 for the Good Samaritan School, and we fell a little short of our goal, and also a little short of the $9,000 we raised last year. But I wanted you to know what you have done to give to these children, many of those kids at the school who do not have enough provision to have lunch each day. So today's our last opportunity to give if you want to bring anything by the campus ministries office. It's my great privilege to introduce Reverend Stu Smith. It was only 7 months ago that he preached his last sermon as campus chaplain, but not his last sermon. I'll begin with the serious stuff. He is a graduate of Jessamine County High School, of Asbury College, of Asbury Theological Seminary. His better half is a Asbury College graduate as well. And all three of his incredible children are graduates of Asbury College. He's been the dean of men, an assistant basketball coach, the dean of campus ministries, campus chaplain, and is now working in the advancement office. He's starting his 21st year at Asbury, and he's also done more than 50 Asbury weddings. Because he's all about love. So, Stu's been known to preach very short sermons in one phrase. We like to call them Stuisms. All the way with Yahweh. It's Yahweh or the highway. If Stu's had a glimpse of you being serious about your faith, then there's a good chance that you are first team all Yahweh. If you've ever made Stu laugh, you're most likely 00C, out of control. I love Stuisms because you never know when you'll get a chance to say one phrase that could preach a sermon. And Stu is great at that. My favorite quote from Stu, on a serious note, is from his strong belief that Christians are not meant to live in isolation. I remember Stu telling me 10 years ago, "Show me someone who is accountable to no one but God, and I'll show you someone who's accountable to nobody." That quote for me has always said a great deal about Stu, about who he is, about why he has chosen to love Asbury College and to serve this community, because he believes so much in community, Christian brotherhood and sisterhood. As I finish introducing him, I want to show you guys this picture of my predecessor that's outside my office. Stu's kneeling, and his dome is very prominent right here in the picture. We use it in Fletcher Early to reflect light from the atrium into three more offices. It's part of our creation care initiative to reduce... energy on campus. As we become more environmentally conscious, we're moving this to the basement of the administration building because it's really dark there. So I present this to Stu as he comes to share with you. Welcoming back to Hughes.
Appreciate that. No, them, not you. Actually, I think, as far as I'm concerned, we have probably the best chaplain in America right now. And, of course, there was nowhere to go but up after me. But the Lord has so blessed us with Greg and his family, and the Lord continues to bless us in so many ways. I've had the privilege of traveling these last several months and representing Asbury, and it's an easy thing to do because I know there are a lot of great young people all over the world. I know there are a lot of great institutions where those wonderful young people are, but I'm telling you, and I say this whether you were here or not, I say it all over the country, our student body is second to none. And it's easy to love you and to serve with you as I've done the last 20-some years, and I'm privileged and honored to be able to share today. I also brag on our faculty, staff, our administration, to be able to share with colleagues and do life with them the last 20 years. I'm so grateful that God led me this way, and he's led me to stay here as well, so I'm thankful. We couldn't do any better than Dr. Gray as our president during this season of ministry and service at Asbury. And so we are privileged, and I would like a raise before Christmas. It's tight. It's really tight. Prospective students, families, I just want to tell you and echo what our president said. We want you to find God's best. We want you to be in the center of his will. Don't settle for anything less than that. If it's here, hallelujah. If it's not, praise the Lord. But find his best, please. That's our prayer for you all. Absolutely it is. A lot of people I could give a shout out to, but my son-in-law on Wednesday said we're not supposed to do that. And he did it anyway. I raised him better than that. Alex Kaiser here. I don't want to embarrass him. Good night, nurse. What have you done to your hair? Stand up. God. Well, there went that illustration. I was going to brag on him. Forget that. He's taking those out. Thank you. All right. Look at that hair. Last year, we were doing man-to-man discipleship and mentoring together. And Alex came in one day, and he had hair like that. Just a beautiful, flowing mop. Not that I'm bitter. The next week, he comes in, he's completely shaved head. Course, being humble, I thought he did it to look like me. But the reality is he's a swimmer, and he's a good swimmer, and many swimmers, and we've had a great program here, shave their heads. And but if I had hair, AK, I still wouldn't do that. The Lord came upon Alex about 2 years ago in a new way. And God's love came down on him and changed him, and he's never gotten over it. He's not quite the same. And so we thank the Lord for that. And it's a miracle. He's actually in the senior section, finally. But that's nothing compared. Where's Mitchell? I saw he's hiding. There he is. Don't stand. Are you in the play this weekend? Okay. You need to go to the play. Mitchell is one of the best actors we've had here ever, and he should be. He's been here 9 years. He's applied for tenure, okay? Actually, I think they're both graduating in December. Is that correct?
We'll see.
Yeah, it could go either way. It could definitely go either way, but that would be a wonderful Christmas present to all of us. But anyway, I said it in the Lord, settle down. Well, let's have the benediction. Well, here's reality. God's love changes everything. God's love changes everything. And I know some of the things that some of you right here are going through, tragic news that some of you received even in the last few days, and I'm sorry. It's a part of life, but we need to know today that no matter what we go through, God's love is there, and it changes everything for you and for me. There's no way to have a zealous faith or a fearless faith. There's no way to be unashamed and stand firm in our commitment to Christ other than to be consecrated, holy, and filled with His love. If what we share here is just one of many ways to live, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. I say that often. But if this is the way to live, and Scripture says it is, and nothing else matters quite as much as what we consider here in this place and on this campus and certainly in your churches and other places. You were made by God, and you were made for God. Every person that's ever drawn breath or ever will was made by God for Him. You were made to know and to love Him and to receive love from Him so that you can go out and love and serve all others. That's why you draw breath. That's why I do. We were created to be filled with the agape love of God. Agape love is God's love. Totally selfless, completely giving. We can love because He first loved us. So there's your title if you want it. God's love changes everything. Our scriptures, Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. It's a good sound. And I'm grateful. Romans 5. It's New Testament, Mitchell. I'm done. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, men and women, has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, you and me, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His word this day. There was a reporter from USA Today that told about a trip that he took to East Africa, and I was blessed to be able to be in East Africa just a couple of years ago, not on this particular trip. But he said he was taught a very valuable lesson. He was in Mogadishu, the capital of Somalia, to cover the famine there. It was terrible. He said it was so bad that as he walked toward the village, he saw many people already lying on the ground dead. In his retelling of the story, he recalls how the smell of death is something that gets into your hair and into your skin and your clothes, and it can't be washed off no matter how hard you scrub. And as he made his way down the road, he came across a little boy. You could tell the boy was malnourished. His stomach was protruding. His hair had turned a reddish color. Skin was wrinkled. It looked like he was 100 years old. All that, signs of malnourishment. There was a photographer who was traveling with the reporter, and he had a grapefruit. And he reached out to give it to the boy, but the boy was so weak he couldn't even hold the whole grapefruit for himself. And so they cut the grapefruit in half, and they gave it to him. And the boy took the grapefruit and looked up at the two men as if to say, "Thank you." And then he began to walk back towards his village. What the little boy didn't know was that the photographer and the reporter were following at a little bit of a distance. And as the boy entered the village, there was another little boy who looked to be dead. His eyes were completely glazed over. As it turns out, this was a younger brother, his younger brother. And so the older brother knelt down next to his younger brother, and he bit off a piece of the grapefruit and chewed it, being careful not to take in any of the juice himself. And he opened his younger brother's mouth, and he put the grapefruit in, and he worked his brother's jaw up and down. The reporter and the photographer later learned that the older brother had been doing that for 2 or 3 weeks. A couple of days later, they were informed that the older brother died of malnutrition. But they learned that the younger brother lived. I wonder if this is what Jesus meant when he said there's no greater love than to lay down our life for somebody else. Love changes things, and God's love changes everything. It changes our hearts, our minds, and it causes us to do things for others we would have never done before. Our scripture today that we shared together just a moment ago tells about a love that sets the bar by which all other loves are defined. A love which defines unconditional love. A love that comes without any condition whatsoever. It's the love of God come down to us in Jesus. There's a reason why the cross is central right here behind me. Because the cross is central to everything in the faith. It's central, I trust, in your life and in mine. Because that's the love that changes everything. I was going to show a clip from the Passion of the Christ, but it was a little bit too much. But I encourage you to watch it on your own. YouTube, Chris Tomlin, Jesus Messiah. If you need to be reminded. And at times we do. We take it for granted, I'm afraid. But God's love changes everything. It's what the Word of God says, and I'll stake my life on the Word. We don't get a glimpse of what true godly love is all about from our culture or our society. In fact, it doesn't help us at all, culture and society, except to show us what not to be a part of. Movies of recent years, television shows that probably too many of us watch, they depict love as selfish, lustful kind of feeling or action. I don't believe popular culture is going to help us at all thinking about the concept of love. So we look to the one who is love himself, agape himself, living for anything else or anyone else. It's only going to leave us longing for the very best in terms of love. It's the greatest commandment. What is it? Good. One Christian right here. Love God, love others, and love yourself in that order. That's the greatest commandment. And if Scripture says love is the most important thing, it needs to be the most important thing in your life and in mine. It needs to be. And the only way it can be the kind of love that it should be is as we are committed completely, totally, and sold out to the Lord Jesus and willing to receive everything that he has for us. See, it's giving all of yourself for all of him and receiving all of him for all of yourself. Makes all the difference in the world. Makes a huge difference. Because if he's not in control, you are. And that's a scary place to be, I promise you. I've seen what that does. I've experienced what that does. Scripture says the love of Christ should be in control of your life and mine. The Word of God couldn't be more clear that there's a certain destruction for human beings who reserve the right to control their own lives. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to you and to me, but it leads to death. It leads to death. So it matters who's in control. In your life, in mine, are we settling for any less than God's agape love being shed abroad in our hearts? Are you trying to live out your life in your own strength when God's love can change everything? Here in this community, we do believe there's a biblical mandate to be holy as God is holy. That's above behind me as well. But holiness is simply Christ-likeness. Selfless love. Mature love. That's perfect. Mature love. Some also call this doctrine of perfect love, that God can do something in our hearts to perfect us, that is to make us mature in our lives of love, our love to God, our love for all others, and even in our love for ourselves. Remember, God's love changes everything. And that agape love comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ himself. And as you and I allow the transforming power and presence of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and lives, he can then redeem all the loves that are part of our existence. Our relational love to God and to others, no matter what others have done to us, you can love with God's help. You can forgive with God's help. Sexual love, which the fulfillment of that is only appropriate in the confines of marriage, he can redeem that. Self-love, he can redeem that. Remember, it makes a huge difference who's in control. And the Apostle Paul said the love of Christ must control us if we were to live the life that we were born and created to live. And every single one of us was born for this kind of life. Think with me for a moment about a relationship in your life might be strained. A lot of us are going through that now, or you have gone through it, or you will go through it. Think how difficult it is to forgive the person that has hurt you if you try to do it out of your own love and out of your own resources. You also know how difficult it is to ask to be forgiven if you're the one who's done the damage. But let me ask you something else. How often are you willing to give in even when the other person is the one that's in the wrong? How often are you willing to lay yourself on the line so that the relationship can be repaired? It's difficult at best, isn't it? Dear ones, that's exactly what God did. It's exactly what God did. God saw the big picture, of course, and he knew that we could never make our way back to where we started. He knew that you and I, left to our own efforts, would only continue to try but fail. And be more selfish than we ever thought possible. And even though God wasn't in the wrong, he took the initiative, as Dr. Borthwick said, God the Father, the great initiator. And he came to us in love first and foremost. And then he did something that was really unimaginable. He sacrificed God's very self for the very people who caused the pain in the first place. God's love changed everything. Everything. God's love in Jesus changes everything. So we can be here this morning because of such a great love. Such a great love. Do you know that love? Do you have that love? Wherever you are in your walk of faith, wherever you are in that spectrum, there's an opportunity today to draw closer to him and to receive more and to drink from the well of his love. I read several years ago in Decision Magazine, it's put out by the Billy Graham Association, about a situation, wasn't anything short of miraculous as far as I was concerned. And it was the father who was writing the article, or who was being written about. And the father and his wife were at home, true, needless to say, at home, and they got a phone call. They said, "We hate to tell you that your son has been shot and killed." And it was a robbery. It was one-on-one. It was murder. It was murder. And of course, their life was turned upside down, never again to be quite the same. In the next few months, that dad made sure he was at every court appearance, because he wanted the other fella, another young man that pulled the trigger, to get his due. He wanted to be put to death. He ended up getting about a 25-year sentence. And that father ended up just being eaten up on the inside. I can imagine it. I don't know if I can, what he went through. But he ended up writing a letter. He said, "I can't be this miserable and say I'm a Christian. I've got to have forgiveness." And then the Lord checked him and he said, "Oh no, Jesus, you're not asking me to love him." And he heard the Father say, "Yes, as I have loved you. So he sat down and he wrote a letter to that prisoner. I believe the name was Mike. It doesn't matter. He wrote a letter to Mike, the prisoner, and he said, "I don't know you. You don't know me, except I'm the father of the young man that you murdered. And I want you to know, as hard as it is for me to tell you this, God's put forgiveness in my heart, and I want you to know I forgive you." He said, "I couldn't quite get to the point where I could put love, but I could put forgive you, and I could mean it." A couple of weeks later, the father received a letter back from Mike, and just scribbling around it, but he could read it, make it out, to say, "No one has ever told me that I was forgiven." Would you ever come to see me? And the father got later, you know, as he's reading that, he goes, "Not a chance." He and his wife prayed, talked about it. You know what happened? God fell on him. He said, I've got to go. And he went and he talked to the young man. And he went every month for several years. And he eventually went and talked to the parole board. Now that's going to get something done. And he stood there on behalf of the one who murdered his son and said, "Oh, would you have mercy on him? He's changed. And he got out. He got out early. He had spent several years in there, but he got out. And they still spent time together. And then Mike had really come to know the Lord and met a Christian young lady. And they got married. You know who did the wedding? That father was a pastor. He stood there with that couple before God and shared that love that's only agape himself. Do you have that kind of love? Does the love of Jesus consume you? Does it change your speech? Does it change your relationships? Does it make you a forgiving person? I got four more pages to go. Y'all come back up. We're going to be a couple minutes late. I haven't been up here in 7 months. I won't be back again for a while. I thought I'd get another ovation, but anyway. Now we're in good shape. I believe Andrew and Kelsey, all of them, are going to sing "Jesus Paid It All." Jesus paid it all. I trust that's your prayer today. It's mine, because recently I've been overwhelmed with a sense and a feeling and the understanding that no matter what happens in life, no matter what struggles I face, it's all going to be all right because I'm loved. I'm loved by God, and so are you. I'm loved by one whose love for me is greater than I can ever explain. And because of that love, I can endure and hope not only in tomorrow, but I can hope even in eternity. And because of that, I can live, and I can live abundantly. Men and women, have you experienced that kind of love? Does it burn within your heart? Does it change everything in your life? The love of God's been poured out for you and for me, and we all need more of Him today. The love of God has changed everything for the good and for the best. And the desire of God's heart is that you'll allow it to change you and me, even this day. Let's stand together as we sing. You can build an altar there in your chair. Mind God, do business with God for these few moments before we go to face the rest of the activities. But our altar is always open here. If you want to bow and kneel before Him and ask Him to give you more of His love. just obey Him in these moments and allow Agape Himself to come and minister to you as only He can. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love, Your faithfulness, Your goodness to us. Thank You, Father, that love came down. God was skin on, chose to come and die for us. Bless You, Lord Jesus. What love that is. Help us, Lord, to seek Your love above all else. Thank You, Lord, that no matter what we've done or no matter what's been done to us, You can give us that love and that forgiveness. So, Lord, we can go out and show a watching world the difference that the love of God can make in a life. Continue to move among us, Lord Jesus. Allow us to continue and tarry to pray if we need to. But, Lord, we want You to be supreme in our lives, even supreme in this day and the activities of this weekend. May everything that's done and said bring glory to You. Use us to that end, and we will give You grateful praise in the matchless and holy name of Jesus. And all of God's family said, amen. Amen. God bless you.